Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Did you see the Louisville Bats Twitter account?
Yes, I did. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Here's from the Louisville Bats Twitter account. It says, the Bats won their 13th game of the season last night, and it had administration thinking. Thought it was supposed to take 3 to 4 years to do so.
That's great. That's great.
Trolling the Louisville Bats.
Trolling Kenny Payne.
Trolling Kenny Payne.
That's awesome. Like, I can't love that more.
The Bats. I love that.
I can't love that more.
Yeah. Yeah. You think Gallietti had any calls about that?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Yes, the Louisville Bats taking some shots at Kenny Payne as he's on his way. Well, not on his way out the door. He's out the door. But nevertheless, Louisville Bats, 437-968 UPS Jobs. Text line, Mark Lieberman here with me today. Zach Cantrell producing. Hey, celebrate the best of the bluegrass on the first Thursday and Friday of May at the James B. Beam Distilling Company with Horses and Heritage on Thurby Night or Oaks on Friday. Spend the biggest weekend in horse racing with the first family of bourbon. Go to beamdistilling.com/events and use the promo code ESPN10 at checkout for a VIP exclusive offer at checkout. That's promo code ESPN10 at checkout for an exclusive offer for our listeners. You do not want to miss out on the biggest party in the first weekend in May at the James B. Beam Distilling Company. So thank you for being our partners. I'm a Jim Beam fan myself. That's awesome. Let's go ahead from Cats Illustrated, bring in our friend Coach David Sisk. Coach, how you doing? I'm sitting across from another coach. Coach Mark Lieberman is with me today. So I got two coaches on the show. First for me, David. How you doing?
Well, I'm good. I hope he had better success than I have.
I think you both are very successful, and I love talking to these basketball minds that I have with me right now.
And it's great just calling everybody Coach.
It is.
If you forget names, just go with Coach. It always works.
Coach Lieberman, Coach Sisk.
I thought you just go ahead and be a coach, too. That'll be three. We'll just call each other Coach.
I did coach. I have coached high school football for a short time.
You're in.
I coached T-ball, and I coached intramural three-year-old basketball. So, well, yeah, I'm a coach, too.
Yes, you'll see this before the interview's over. There's so many people in the transfer portal, I can't remember everybody's name. And you tell I'm getting older, I can't remember their names. And I'll go, well, this kid from San Diego State, this kid from Lake Forest. So if I could call you Coach and I didn't have to remember anybody's name, it'd make everything a lot easier.
I'm with you. And David Sisk with his Cats Illustrated, go check him out. He always has great player video breakdowns, assessments. He does great. And we'll start here, David. I'm like you. I'm having trouble keeping track of everything that Mark Pope has done through this weekend and what he's doing today. But first, before we get to the players, I want to talk to you about the addition of Alvin Brooks III to the staff. Now, he was with Scott Drew, associate head coach out there at Baylor, comes in, brings a bunch of recruiting cachet. I mean, that's a big get for Mark Pope, because one of the big questions we all had about him was how does he recruit when he was at BYU? He wasn't that easy. He's a Kentucky. He's a different animal. Just talk to us a little bit about Alvin Brooks III and what he brings to Pope's staff.
Well, it was a home run. And, you know, you take a couple of reasons. From Baylor, if you look at the last six recruits that they have brought in there, five of them have been five-star players. And, you know, you think about Calipari when he was at Kentucky, and you think about Shire at Duke, and I can make the argument that probably Drew and Hubert Davis, as far as reeling in five-star guys, had probably made the claim as, you know, the best recruiters in high school out there in the recent years. I mean, they were on a very short list. Brooks was a lead recruiter for three of those guys, including B.J. Edgecombe that's coming in. And the other thing, too, I think they do such a good job with it at Baylor. I mean, if you look at the last two guys that have come out of there, you know, you're talking about Grant McCaslin at Texas Tech, and then you're talking about, help me out here, at Kansas State.
Drum Tang.
So, you know, and both of those guys have made it big, and I know Travis Graff especially. He's huge on McCaslin. He thinks he's going to be a star. You know, and Jerome Tang's already got the nation's attention, you know, at Kansas State with what he did in his first year there. So I'm going to say this. I don't know that Brooks will be at Kentucky. I don't think it is a career move where he's here forever. I think he'll end up being a head coach in the next very, very soon, next couple of years.
And that's a great compliment to a coach. I mean, you know, you have these coaches that are on staff for a long time. And, I mean, Calipari, for good or bad, I mean, he kind of still keeps the same guys, and very few of them ascend to a head coach job, especially a high major head coach. So it'll be interesting to see that. Now, David, we've had a number of guys commit. Let's run through them real quick. I'm going to name them off, see if I can get all of them. You guys might fact check me if you need to, but here's who I've got, okay? And just give me and say, who do you like out of the group? Who do you think fits Pope's system the best, or any comments you have, okay? So we have Colin Chandler, obviously the he'll be a freshman, even though he's, you know, was supposed to be a freshman 2 years ago. Travis Perry obviously commits to Kentucky, stays with Kentucky. Amari Williams, Lamont Butler from San Diego State, Otega Away from Oklahoma, and then Andrew Carr from Wake Forest. Now, I don't think I missed anybody there. I think I named everybody, but that looks to be what the roster is as of right now. All these guys are signed. All these guys are official. Any thoughts on the Kentucky's roster as of right now?
Yeah, just briefly, give me a name, and I'll just do a brief summary on
okay,
this one.
Sure.
I'll leave something.
Let's do the latest one. Andrew Carr comes over from Wake Forest. Mark Pope, you know, he seems to be valuing Division One guys and going after a lot of Division One guys, but high major guys. Andrew Carr, 13 points, about 8 rebounds last year for Wake Forest. Stretch four. Thoughts on him?
Carr's interesting. And I haven't got to sit down and really watch the film like I want to. I've watched them some. Obviously, I do a little bit with North Carolina, so watch him at Wake Forest. But they only played one time. And he's considered a lot by people as a stretch four. But it's interesting. Justin Rowland had a great read that I would advise anybody to read the Cats Illustrated with the basketball guy at the Wake Forest site. And he talked about, said, yeah, you know, he made, I think, 38% of his threes last year, right around there. And he can make that shot, he said, but it's kind of a slow windup. He compared him to Robbie Hummel in that part of the kind of his shot. And, you know, he can run hot and cold. He doesn't think it's a consistent one. But he really talked about his rim protection, how well he guarded the post, and how he could really score down on a block. And so it was a little bit different. I think Pope will play him at the four because he's done got Amari Williams. That's another one that we'll touch on. And Amari has some of the same attributes. Very good rim protector. Mm-hmm. Great defender. Not a lot of offensive tools, but really good defensively. So you've got two guys there who can rim protect, who are good defensively. I think Carr stretches the floor more. Williams is not going to step out, But yeah. I think with Carr, it's going to be interesting. I think they'll play him at the four and let him try to stretch, especially if Osabor comes in, because Osabor and Williams are going to be your low post guys. So I think you really play him out on that four and try to have him step out. So I just can't – I think that's kind of how they all play together. And if Osabor signs and commits, then I think that's the way you can get those three bigs playing together.
Coach – and I'm going to say coach. Yeah. You look at Amari Williams, you look at Lamont Butler and Otega. An underrated factor with all those guys is how good they are defensively. And yes. People haven't talked about that with Coach Pope's philosophy and recruiting. And that's something, what are your thoughts on that and the fact that, you know, he comes from a Patino tree, that defense is definitely, when you get some transfers in, that's going to be a huge impact as well.
That's a great point because and it's one that I've thought about, because when he first started and he talked about the players that they were looking at are going to come in, and we really didn't know. There have been so many of them. But everybody originally had all the Utah roots. And you said, oh, it's going to be great, Kentucky now. They're going to be BYU East. And you're going to have all these gym rats running around jacking threes everywhere.
Well, right.
You know, he goes out and gets Lamont Butler, and I'm like, ooh, you know, there's your one. Nobody was looking for that. I mean, he's tough, man. I love San Diego State. Love the way he plays. And then you get Otega Owe. You know, I started following him with Team Final when he was playing with EYBL. Man, you talk about two guys you want in a foxhole. These are just tough guys. So, and then Williams, rim protection, Carr, rim protection. I agree. And you know, people talk about a lot, you know, how Patino's guys shot threes when he was at Kentucky. But, man, they defended, and that's the thing he took with him to Louisville, and he took other places. You know, Louisville, they didn't have the shooters they had at Kentucky, but, man, they would defend. He's such a good coach in that area, and I think Pope learned from there. Pope realizes, you know, to compete in the SEC, what kind of athletes and tough guys and players you've got to have. And I think he I don't think that we're going to worry too much about him recruiting the roster that's not physical enough, not athletic enough.
Especially coming off what we just saw with John Calipari, and as great as that team was offensively and how fun that was to watch, defensively, it may have been his worst defensive team at Kentucky. Yeah, because he used to have some great defensive teams, and like Patino at Louisville, that's kind of what he hung his hat on, but they just did not have those dog-type players, and it does seem that Mark Pope is embracing that Patino defensive analysis, and Coach Sisk, Coach Lieberman was on one of those Patino staffs with some of those defensive teams you're talking about, so he knows exactly what wheelhouse you're going through right there.
Yeah, and you know, Kentucky's not, in my opinion, has not had a good defensive team since P.J. Washington, Tyler Hero, Hagan.
Sure,
you know,
that's fair.
And that bunch, I think it's been a train wreck defensively since then.
And Mark Pope, that's the big surprise, is him prioritizing defense. Because, like David said, yeah, we were all just expecting shooters and guys that run up and down the court. And then all of a sudden, his first few recruits and commits are like defenders. So it was surprising. Speak a little more, if you don't mind, Coach.
I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
Don't sleep on the Mark. Don't anybody out there sleep on the Mark Fox hire.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was at Georgia, because he's going to be the Don Zimmer to Joe Torre. You know, for Kentucky. You know, he's the bench coach. He's the guy who's going to be working a lot on this. You know, while these other guys are recruiting, he's working on the game plans and the X's and O's. I always thought he was a really good X's and O's guy when he was at Georgia. He didn't have the personality. Georgia's tough to recruit to anyway. They're all football. Mm-hmm. If you really look at Georgia, there's really not a successful sport that they have out, a big-time sport outside of football. They struggle in baseball. They struggle in basketball. They struggle in all this with the recruiting base that they have because there's so much emphasis on football. And with facilities and everything are not up to snuff with these other schools that really prioritize it. So I thought he was in a tough place, but he really didn't have a personality, a strong personality that you would put with a recruiter. But I always thought his teams are very sound. I like the way he coached them. So I think that's good as you talk about shoring up the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff there. David Sisk with us from Cats Illustrated. Okay, so a couple guys visiting. Great Osabor, you mentioned him. And then Kobe Brea, he visits starting tonight. Both very different players. Osabor, as you said, will play more in the post, but he's a little more versatile than just your regular back-to-the-basket post player. And then Kobe Brea, you know, arguably the best shooter in the portal, just came off a visit from UConn. He did decide not to visit Duke and John Shire, instead coming to Kentucky, which has to be a good sign. And then, you know, throw all that together, Coach, you know, Aiden Mahaney, he picks UConn today. Does that open a spot for Kobe Brea? Was it one of these situations where, you know, UConn gets one, Kentucky gets the other?
Yeah, but and this is not the only guard that UConn has gotten in the last two or three days. You know, they have really went and got after it.
Lee McNeely, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there have been several that they've added. So I'm not sure where that puts them on that situation, but I think it would put Kentucky in a good spot, you know, what I'm thinking. And obviously, a guy who can really shoot. I mean, of all the guys they're looking at and they brought in and have not brought in, but they're serious about, I mean, he's by far got the best three-point shooting numbers. But he's what I would really term a specialist. But here's the key. I've had people ask me, you know, number one, do I feel like Mark Pope's done a good job? Yes, a tremendous job. I'd give him about a B plus or everything right now.
Okay.
I think he's done a tremendous job of getting it together. But here's the thing that I don't see. They've not gotten any guys yet on the perimeter who can create their own shots and create for others. So there's not a Rob Dillingham out there. There's not a Shepherd or somebody like that and get theirs and get it for others. What they've got so far are they've got guys who can shoot it when they're open and are good, solid role guys on the perimeter at guards. But here's the thing. You've got to have somebody out there that can just – an Antonio Reeves – who can break the defense down. Dillingham can break the defense down, and they draw help, and all of a sudden, now they're kicking out the guys, and they got guys wide open. I think that's what some of these guys do well. They hit that wide open shot, but they don't create. So if there's nobody there who can draw the defense, who can put the defense in a tough spot because they can create for themselves and for others, then all of a sudden you don't help off those guys. You just stay with them, and you don't have to help on to the other, and now nobody's getting open looks. And so they've got to have, in my opinion, they need two of those guys that are just basket getters on the perimeter, and then I think these other guys will flourish from it.
Is Jackson Robinson maybe one of those guys, the BYU player that was in the – he's still in the NBA draft, you know, process, but he entered the portal last Friday. Could he be one of those players that creates his own shot and breaks the defense down, as you were describing?
Yeah, I think it could be. It's a little better, but I'm going to tell you what, if they do get him, then I really think they need to get a big-time guy doing that, if that makes sense. Away from it. I really think they need to add they're just a stud. If they do, I want to watch him more. I'm going to be honest with you. With all the commitments and all the people that they're looking at, and I've gone back and didn't try to watch tape of the commitments, the guys that are not yet have come in, I've just not had time to do it. You know, with everything. Yeah. So I want to watch more of him. But what I've seen so far, I mean, he can give you some of that, but I don't know that he gives you that at the elite level. And I think they need somewhere along the line that's elite. Now, I want to tell you one guy that I do think is elite, and he's inside out. Now, he could free some guys up because he'll draw some post-doubles. Great Osabor, I wanted to get him in. Anybody that's listening, do yourself a favor and go back on YouTube and watch any of the Utah State-San Diego State games from last year, because I wanted to to look at a guy coming in from San Diego State. And I ended up watching that game, and it was just a pleasure because you had him and Jaden Ledee going at each other And, man, you talk about two of the best big men in the country, I felt like. And I had no idea. I knew Osabor was good. I had no idea how good until I was. I mean, he puts Ladee on the bench like 4 minutes in with his second foul.
Wow.
And he's just like scoring with his back to the bucket, left hand, right hand, counters, quick drop step. Facing up 12 to 15 feet and just getting to the rim. He could do that. And, he's really good. Well, there was one or two where he got offensive rebounds, and he's got like two or three San Diego State guys. And you know how physical they are.
Yeah.
They're blocking them out. He just throws them out of the way, gets the rebound, and just tears the rim down. And, man, I'm telling you, he's a dude now. So that's a guy that I really like.
Coach David Sisk with us here on the roundtable, sitting in with Mark Lieberman and myself, enjoying this conversation. All right, one more for you. Coach David Sisk, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time. Outside of great Osabor, what other name in the transfer portal jumps out to you as the individual that could create a shot or create space? The top 10 left out there, most of these are either mid-major or not even mid-major, but, you know, mid-major or low-high-major guys. We have Janelle Davis is still out there. Kadari Richmond is out there. Devon Smith is still out there. Any names jump out to you as a guy that Mark Pope could reach out to that does that, what you're just describing, create their own offense and break a defense down?
Those three names that you brought up are all three probably ones that fans need to get to know a little bit about.
Okay.
Because I think you'll hear more from each one as far as Kentucky goes. But also, you know, guys who are in the portal are not in the portal but are looking at the NBA draft, they've still got a few days left that might opt out and come back. Those may be ones to look at, too. And generally, some of your better ones become available late, you know, in the process. But, yeah, those three that you talked about right there, I mean, if you look at, like, Kadari Richmond, I'm a little bit more familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at Devon Smith, too. I mean, he's all those guys, they're more electric and more athletic. And with Devon Smith, you hear maybe there may be some transcript issues.
Right.
That's one big thing, too. This is a national deal. I was out at Memphis at the UIBL over the weekend and talking to scouts and, you know, AAU directors and all that, and they're used to all this. But they're saying the thing that you're really running into now throughout the country is guys on their third and fourth transfer, especially
yeah.
the guys on their third. Second, they're okay, but third, so you've got courses from all these different schools, and it's tough to get them eligible.
I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. I know for a fact, my daughter went through PT school, physical therapy school, and she graduated from State University in Alabama, and she was wanting to take PT school in Tennessee. And after she graduated, they came up with about 30 hours that they wouldn't take. And she basically had to do a junior college year after she already had a four-year degree just to get classes in that state so she could get in PT school. So,
wow.
You know, it's all slippery. But Kadari Richmond, if you just look at his stat line at Seton Hall and what he does, assists, rebounds, and points, man, he's a real deal. But like I said, you've got these guys on there, transfer. Number one, could they get them in? Or could they get them? And number two, then could they get them in? So, you know, it's these are not clear case situations where, yeah, we want this guy, so he wants to come here, so we're going to get him in. There's a lot of maneuvering to be done.
All right, David Sisk, thank you so much for joining us today on the roundtable. We'll check your stuff out. I know there's news breaking, it seems, every other hour, so we'll keep
I'm
that.
Just glad I'm just glad somebody didn't commit while we're on the radio. I know a lot of fans may be wanting it, but I've said this, when June 1st comes around and the portal shuts down, somebody said, well, it'll be like Christmas for you on it. And I said, no, it's going to be like Groundhog Day. You know, I'm going to stick my head out and see if I want to come back out in the real world or crawl back in a hole. So.
I hear you. You hit the nail on the head. Following this stuff is dizzying. And at least with John Calipari, you had at least some type of a roster at this point because you had the freshmen. With this is unprecedented, trying to follow this stuff. David, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. David Sisk, Cats Illustrated. How about that, Coach? What do you think about that combo?
Great stuff. And, to his point, you find a lot of players right now. When I have gone to a bunch of schools, right now you have guys scrambling to take online courses to meet the criteria to get into those places. And then you also have the factor of what we were talking about earlier, that you're going to your second or third school.
Yeah.
Coaches talk. To think that every coach will call, and yeah, if a guy's leaving, you might badmouth him. But for the most part, we're all connected. Everybody knows each other in the business. You're going to make calls. You're going to say, okay, what's the deal with him? And you're going to go to the people you trust and get the straight answer. Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
He's a headache.
Yeah, the first time, you're going to spend a lot of time on just little things with him, and he's late for meetings. He's late for film sessions and stuff like that. So, it's not always the case, but that happens as well. So, it's twofold. Number one, there have been about three or four schools. That's a red flag. Mm-hmm. And then, that was a great point by Coach about the academic part. So you do see a lot of players getting online courses to make sure they've fulfilled requirements to get into the next institution.
And we've seen that with Michigan the past two seasons. Last year, Caleb Love, he couldn't get into mm-hmm. Michigan. And then I forgot who the player was, but we just saw another portal guy who wasn't able to get into Michigan because of transcript mm-hmm. issues. And you look at a guy like Matt Cross, for instance, he's at Miami. Then he's at Louisville. Mm-hmm. Now he's at UMass. Now he's back in the portal. So he's looking at going to his fourth school, as you were bringing up. And it's like,
which surprised me, because
he had a good season.
Yeah, and Frank Martin has a great relationship. He's the head coach at UMass. Yeah. And he's known Matt Cross forever. He was trying to get him at South Carolina. Then, he left South Carolina. Yeah, I was surprised to see that. Now he's going to his fourth school. So, tread lightly with some of your decisions that you're making, but you fall in love with the talent, and every coach, like we talked about, thinks, hey, I can fix this.
It's like when you're in a bad relationship, or you start dating someone with baggage, and you're like, no, I can change that person. I have all the answers. I can change this person, and they'll change. And then they don't. And you're like, well, I guess I can. But it's the same thing. You're in high school. I'll give my a personal example. I was in high school. Girl I liked a lot, but she always dated, these like dudes that got in trouble or the bad boys. She liked the bad boys. And I'm this nice guy and she, blah, blah. And she doesn't like me and I'll treat her right. These guys cheat on her and they're terrible to her and da, da, da. They make her cry all the time. But I guess maybe in her head, she's like, I can fix these guys. I can make them to be not. It's like kind of an ego thing. Like you have all the answers. Maybe they're just attracted to that. But yeah, there's some coaches out there definitely like I could. Doesn't matter. Matt Cross did this at Louisville. He did that at UMass. Doesn't matter. I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. I'll crack the Matt Cross code. I'm not saying he's a bad kid. I'm using him as an example.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. And, it comes up to bite you, and every coach, like I said, if someone tells you who they are, you got to believe them.
But now, you don't have to say any names, but does one stick out to you, is the biggest where you're like, I should have listened. I should have listened to that coach, or I should have listened to that assistant coach, or whoever it was.
Everything was there. Everything was there to say it. And then I just, you just say, okay, we can make this work.
We'll make it work. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'm Mark Lieberman. It was a train wreck.
it happens to everyone.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I'm sure it's happened to Patino. It's happened to Calipari. It's happened to Bill Self. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happened to all of them. No matter how Myshevsky, no matter how great of a coach you are, there's some players you're just not going to be able to coach.
Yep.
And it happens at the NBA level, too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's read some text here before we take a break. Texter, Rig was stuck in the friend zone. Oh, I was. I was firmly in the friend zone. I did everything I could. And I'm fine now.
If she only saw your salt and pepper hair, right?
Exactly.
Now,
and my, you know, and my NIL shirt.
And your NIL shirt.
Like, man, he's official NIL Kentucky. Whoa. Yeah, if she only saw the silver fox now, Mark.
Yes, Dexter, I agree.
Hadn't thought of that. Is it's why you didn't get Penny Boone. Don't lie to Sisk. We'll get to Penny Boone here in a little bit. Texter, was it Shaquan Aaron? I think that was for you. No comment from
no
Mark.
No comment.
Well, let's keep moving on. Texter, this guy sounds like he needs to blow his nose. Hey, maybe the allergies are bad in Tennessee. Texter, maybe somebody from the NFPA to help with the NCAA agent certification. Only if there was somebody who worked with 93.9 that was related to the NFLPA connection. Thank you. That must have been for Mark Innocent's show. I don't think we've talked about any of that. And last one, Texter, yeah, sure. They sure do need an all-American scorer. Okay, who doesn't? I mean, his point is they just don't have a dude like that on their roster. They have fine guys. Like, I think the guys are fine, but there hasn't been, Mark, that yep. player that just that's a game changer immediately.
Right. And so, yeah, you've got a system guy. You know, Mark Pope loves five out and the movement and the zoom action, which is just dribble handoffs and cutting and understanding how to play. But you go into non-conference play, about 24% of the stuff that scripted players and the other team can scout for. But you get into conference play, it goes up to about 47%. So basically half the game, the scripted stuff that you have in conference, they can take away. So now you better have a guy that when it breaks down,
yeah,
can create his shot for himself or for others. Because it really is only – it's about – it's really tough. You get into conference, all of a sudden becomes high ball screens or a guy that can just get by, draw two, and create, because that's what you want. You want to put a guy that can have two people on the ball, on the basketball. And it changes when you get to conference play. Because in non-conference, yeah, you can, whether it's back cuts or whatnot, your system works. You get into conference play, it really changes.
Because they're scouting you out. They've seen you before.
They scouted you. So from right now, you have every SEC coach and their assistants, sometimes not the head coach, they're watching all the BYU film. They're watching everything that BYU's doing. This is what their split action. And, you know, where are guys going, running to the floor? Where can we take away the inbounds play? What are we doing? They're watching it right now. They're scrutinizing everything from a film standpoint. Hmm. And then when they get into the season, they're watching every non-conference game.
Yeah.
So when you get to – it is such – it's tedious work, and it's so vital for every team that you're doing your scouting. You're prepared for what teams run, and you take something away. You want to make them left-handed, but then you have players that are just really good, and
yeah.
you just say, okay, this player can just make that play. So it's vital for every team to have guys like that for sure.
I was watching – I just caught it over the weekend on Twitter. They had – John Wall versus North Carolina at Kentucky, and Kentucky went on like a 25-0 run, and he was the impetus to all of it. And I'm sitting there, and you sometimes you're so far removed from some of these players mm-hmm. and watching them play that you forget. And I'm watching them like there's I haven't seen anybody like that in NCAA basketball in a long time.
Yeah,
that he was like exactly what you and Coach Sis were talking about. Create on your own, draw on the defense. I mean, he would drive in the middle, boom, Patrick Patterson out for a three, bang. Darius Miller out for a three, bang, or whoever it was, mm-hmm. and him being able to be creative. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I forgot
incredible
how great, absolutely great he was as a freshman. I mean, it was, I don't remember the last time there's been a guy like that.
And guys like him, no matter how much prep you do and how much scouting you do,
yeah.
he's an outlier. He's gonna be able to create his own no matter what. You're not gonna contain him. So guys like that, they're you know, when you get in the conference, it's like, okay, we're gonna corral him, you know, soft double, or we're gonna switch, or we're gonna really blitz him on every ball screen, or just really force him into things that he's uncomfortable. But I watched James Harden,
yeah,
and they're forcing him right, and they're taking away, and he's not the player he was 5 or 6 years ago.
He's not.
But he's getting in the lane and shooting floaters and however many points he went for. You know, Jalen Brunson for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's the guy. And to think that Nick Nurse is a tremendous coach, and you don't prep. And what was fascinating, too, after the game with James Harden, he was like, yep, we just got to get back on, watch more film, see what they did offensively, see how they guarded stuff. To think that players at that level don't do it. So certainly in college, these guys are just painstaking. You're watching so much film to try and alleviate what players do well. But there's also players, like you were mentioning with John Wall, he's just... He's just really good, and you're just trying to make it where it's going to be really hard for him to get, to make him work as hard as possible. Sometimes you're going to make him have to guard a player, and you're going to run him through staggered screens and going to run him off baseline runners. So you're trying to wear him down defensively. So those are different ways to attack a guy to at least make him to limit his impact on the game.
Who was when you were at Louisville? Who was one of the most difficult players that you all had to prepare for? Like, it doesn't have to be John Wall, but like a guy like that, where Rapinoe came in and was like, hey, scout the team. What are the weaknesses? What can we do to alleviate this or do whatever? But there was a player just sitting there watching. Was like, I got nothing. I mean, of course you had to go with something. But while you were initially watching the film and trying to break it down and trying to figure out what can I do to counter this player, that there's a guy that you're just like, I really don't know what we're gonna do here, but we'll figure it out.
Kemba.
Kimball, oh, well, yeah,
that was my first year. Like, he was just a handful. And that year they win the national championship. It was just like, yeah, he could get – you watch a player. If they can get where they want on the floor, no matter what you're doing defensively, that's the first sign. And if he can draw to and make the right play, he was doing that consistently. So, like, you watched him. It was just, yeah, his handles were tight. He was creative. But no matter what, he just created so much space with his handles. And he dribbled, and he bended his back. He was so low. I'm getting nightmares right now.
Of having to go to Rick Pitino and being like, this is what I think we should do with Kemba Walker. We hope it works. I don't know about, I'm sure that was not easy.
No.
All right, let's read a couple texts and then take a break. Texter, Rig, when coach said soft double, did you think of a cheeseburger like I did? Oh, you're damn right I thought of a cheeseburger. Absolutely. Give me a little soft double from Dairy Queen. How about that? All right, on the other end, I'll talk to Coach about Pat Kelsey, what he thinks about what he's doing so far. And Louisville spent a lot of time on Kentucky. Let's focus on Louisville a little bit here on the roundtable. If you're looking for a security company, Sonatrol of Louisville is the place for you. That's right. They're locally owned and they're family operated for over 35 years. Sonatrol of Louisville is the number one rated security company in Kentucky with over 350 five-star reviews on Google. They have a team of local experts who will work with you from tailoring your system to your business or home needs, servicing your system down the road if it messes up. Check them out online, SoundControlKY.com, or give them a call at 502-966-8999.
We're going to take you right up to Andy Sweeney, and should I call it the take or just that mess that's called a show?
I mean, the take with Andy Sweeney is the official name.
Well, I know, but that sounds so blasé because when it starts, it's 3 hours of just get after it. This is amazing. But James Treble's son was in camp last week, and he was the greatest, most mild-mannered guy in the world.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Treble.
How about that, Mark? Yeah. Yes,
definitely that father-like son there.
Yeah, exactly. You have the radio persona, and you got to do the radio thing, and then once the mic goes away, you're a different person sometimes. Exactly. So I totally get that. Hey, I want to say thank you to Chick-fil-A. Need a simple dinner for your family? Try catering from Chick-fil-A Stony Brook or Chick-fil-A Barstown Road. From Chick-fil-A nuggets to mac and cheese, enjoy a variety of tray options sized perfectly for your crew. Order through the Chick-fil-A app and we'll have dinner ready in no time. Chick-fil-A Stony Brook and Chick-fil-A Barstown Road, the best source for your catering needs. Order requirements may vary. See restaurant for details. This is the Roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm James Striebel. Mark Lieberman, good enough to join me today. Zach Cantrell over there producing the show. Thanks to David Sisk there for a great segment. I know we talked a lot about Kentucky so far, Mark, but what have your thoughts been so far on Pat Kelsey, new Cardinal head basketball coach? Already, picked a number of guys up out of the portal. Some of those guys, come from your Power Six conference members or however you want to classify it. Had some from Colorado, Washington, but he also has Long Beach State and College of Charleston. But again, in the transfer portal world, a lot of times it's not going to be guaranteed that they're good or not guaranteed that they're bust. They could come and be great in your system. But what are your thoughts on Pat Kelsey so far as he's trying to put together a roster much like Mark Pope?
Yeah, and I think there's three things I think he was focusing on. And shooters, guys that are willing passers and guys who have a defensive mentality, maybe even the chip on their shoulder from coming from the lower level. But, you know, it's if you can't pass, you can't play. And the guys he has, you know, you look at these guys and just watching Javon Hadley, even in the NCAA tournament, like these are guys that can play and can score. I think getting, you know, Chucky late, getting that point
Chucky
guard.
Yeah, Chucky Hepburn was a big one.
That was big. And not only, look, he defends. His pickup point is pretty high. He can defend the ball. You know, you talked about his, I think, you know, his scoring went down, but, you know, the winning went up because he understood what, you know, how to dictate what it means, you know, on the ball defender and so on. You have a lot of guys that are similar, and you know, it's just a matter of if you're going to do this. We talked about you're putting a whole group together. It's not like you're relying on what these guys have done in the past. You know, you have, you know, with Smith and Scott, guys that came from his program. You cannot underestimate the value of that because there's going to be guys that won't understand everything that coach wants, but those guys can be, you know, those go-betweens, and that's important. So I like what he's done. You know, I think there's still some more work to be done as far as that goes. But the group he has, you know, everybody's worried about what level they come from. But even watching Terrence Edwards in the tournament.
Yeah, that's another big get for him.
Guy's good.
He's really good.
He's really good.
He was one of the top guys in the transfer portal, especially early on. He was one of the, I think he's like top 10, top 15 portal player. And for him to be his first like real big time commit was awesome for Pat Kelsey. And as you talk about getting guys, you know, from your previous gig, getting one kind of guy to be that first domino to fall is also important. Where he's like, okay, we got him. Other players now look, oh, I could go play with him. I could go play with him. I can go and join a team and be, you know, a part of whatever they're doing. I think that was a really good start for him. Now, as far as his personality is concerned, I mean, he's about as opposite of Kenny Payne as Josh Hurd could have asked for when it comes to being visible. I mean, how important is that not only to, you know, Louisville fans, but also to the players? I mean, you have a guy like Pat Kelsey who is so energetic and who is willing to put himself as the face of the program, the voice of the program, whereas Kenny Payne, other than, you know, the pregame stuff, post-game stuff, and then every once in a while he'll do his show, you know, with Paul Rogers. You didn't really get much out of him. You didn't see much of him. He did go to your TBT tournament to a couple games, but, I mean, he wasn't – I mean, Jeff Braun was more prominent than he was and a lot of that stuff.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he didn't – I mean, Kenny Payne didn't go to anything. I don't remember talking about him being at baseball games, football games, volleyball games, whatever else. Pat Kelsey's making concerted effort to go out there and make sure that he's visible at least.
Right. Yeah. I you know, just, I don't know if it was defiance on Coach Payne's part, but yeah. And in this world, I mean, that's a huge part of it, and engaging the fan base because you're trying to build up that credit because no matter what, you just don't know what's going to happen when the season starts. You can get off to a bad start. Some teams are slow out of the gate, and it's going to happen. And so when you're bringing all these new guys together and you play fast, there's going to be turnovers. There's going to be some missed assignments.
Sure.
There's going to be these guys developing chemistry. It's May, and it's only a few months away from they're getting ready for practice. And they're getting ready for games. That's right around the corner, October, November. So, like, to think that these guys have synergy and are all connected, not happening. But if you continue to build and understand that and say, okay, we're going to incrementally get better every practice, every game, which is the intensity that Coach Kelsey builds and brings to the team and to the community. Well, what he's doing right now, you've built up guys and a fan base that believes in you.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, okay, you're off to a slow start. He's not going to all of a sudden become ornery and not, you know, have a press conference and just, you know, give that we're going to fight and do all those things. No, he's going to say, okay, this is...
You can't say the bad word. That's the F word around here
now. It's amazing that, like, people don't understand, right, that this word is now, like, you know, it gives, you know...
It's like Voldemort. He should not be named. That's the word that shall not be said. Fight. You can't say it anymore. It's on the blacklist.
And that's a good... But, yeah, he's an intense guy. He's going to coach that way. He's going to be getting these guys to do things that they're not think that they can do. But I will tell you, every player I've been around that is a competitor that wants to win, they want to be coached hard.
Yes.
There's not a player that doesn't want to be coached hard. And so these guys are going to be pushed, and they're going to get out of their comfort zone, and he's going to, you know, they're already developing already the practices, the drills. He's getting his staff on the same page with terminology too. You know, so, you know, just how you call something or hey, how we close out, like we want choppy steps, you know, up, choppy steps back. But you know what? If that's his terminology, he's making sure every coach has it. Every player, it's ad nauseum. They're repeating that kind of stuff on film. You know, you don't want scouting reports, you know, changing game to game. So that's a huge part. You're getting your staff together and he has some guys he's familiar with. But some of these players haven't heard it. Presented to him that way. So there's a lot to be done. That's why what he's doing in the community, what he's doing on the radio, what he's doing around on Diener's Twitter spaces. And
yes,
all that kind
the
of stuff,
Twitter spaces. Let's go.
Yeah, you're getting credit, and you know you're making deposits, and that stuff comes back to help you, which you know the previous staff just didn't do.
Now, what if Jeff Brohm, let's say that you're like currently on the Louisville staff. What if Jeff Brohm came to Mark Lieberman and said, Coach, I want to put you in a helmet and shoulder pads and have you field punts in front of recruits. Would you do that?
I wish I could, last year at the, we had like the corporate games or whatever.
Yeah. ESPN Louisville did that. Yeah.
Nick Valvano might have film of me throwing a football. I got a rocket for an arm.
Do you really?
I used to play flag football all the time.
I can see you have a nice shoulder build on you. I can see you having some power behind that pig skin.
Yeah, I might even ask Coach Brohm to get me out there. I could probably do a backhanded, But I'm more of those guys who just go up and grab a one-handed pass. I love football. I love it.
Really? Okay.
Used to play, like, even in college, I played, really competitive, like fraternities and
elites. Sure, yeah.
Big football guy.
I love it. Now, did you watch ingest a lot of the NFL draft over the weekend?
That is my, I don't even know what word I can use to describe it. Since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And if you were, they used to have the draft on, weekdays during the day.
Yeah, they would.
I used to skip school just to watch it.
So you're like a draft addict.
I am a draft Nick. I love Mel Kiper. I used to get his book. I love it. I love the draft.
That's fantastic.
What about you?
Oh yeah, I absolutely love the draft. I mean, the best draft ever, though. And I we'll see if we all agree on this. To me, the COVID draft will never be topped. Because here's why. Because at that time we had a sports desert. Like there was nothing going on. They canceled everything. And then I remember the first thing that we had was the NFL draft. I'd love to go back and see the ratings of that draft compared to the ones after it, even the ones before it, because I remember that everybody on Twitter especially sitting there and as a community, humanity in America, all watching that NFL draft and living and dying on every single pick and having beers or whatever at home watching the draft. That to me was the greatest draft ever. I never want to do that again because I don't want to be cooped up inside, but that draft was freaking awesome.
I was glued, James, to the TV, and I had actually come back here from Louisiana. I was coaching at Southeastern Louisiana when all that happened. Moved back here for 4 or 5 months, and I actually, my daughter watched that draft with me, and she couldn't believe I was enjoying that. But
she's probably what is wrong with you?
It was just fantastic. You see Bill Belichick with his
dog
in the kitchen.
Yes, that was the dog draft, the weird Mike Vrabel stuff.
Yeah, that was odd.
That was odd. Right. Oh, it was
Remember
great.
They auctioned off his chair that he was in?
Yeah.
That became the whole story of the draft, was Roger Goodell's chair.
He had that leather chair.
Yeah,
it is his study. Yes, I forgot about that. He was he looked like he's getting ready to host Masterpiece Theater.
Yes.
sitting in that chair.
We laugh now, but all the angst and all the stuff you're going just to sit there and have some normalcy of the NFL draft.
Yeah,
even the, look, they're at their houses and what. But to me, it was just. Oh, it was bliss.
It was absolute bliss. It was bliss. I remember my wife had to work that night. She was a nurse. Or she still is a nurse. She's a nurse. And so she didn't miss days. She continued to have to go in.
Right.
And my kids were still younger.
God bless her for doing all that.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. It was weird for a while. But, my kids were younger, so they'd already gone to bed. And it was just me and a fridge full of beer and the draft. And
it's better.
Man, ain't nothing better than that, brother.
Yeah, right?
Ain't nothing better than that. It was fantastic. So I'm glad you enjoyed the draft this year. Maybe we'll get to a point where once again Kentucky and Louisville will have some players going in the first and second round on a more consistent basis, because we didn't start picking up until like the third round. But it's still all right.
And
but.
Seeing that feature on Ray Davis, the running back.
Man, that was so cool.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
We just don't realize, because sometimes you don't humanize these players. You just see them and say, oh, they're like, what he went through was just, it was just an incredible story.
And if they end up in the NFL after all basically being an orphan. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid was, I mean, not basically, he was an orphan.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And for him to make it to the NFL and on a good team, I mean, he made a great roster with I mean, as long as Josh Allen's there, I mean, they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, mm-hmm. or at least a team where, okay, you can go ahead and write them in for the playoffs every season. You know, he's probably going to get some playing time
this
season.
I think he's great out of the backfield too. He's a very good receiver as a running back, and I'm sure he understands, you know, pass blocking as well, so I think he'll be a great fit.
Yeah, and then Louisville having two running backs drafted, Jahar Jordan mm-hmm. and Isaac Grindo both drafted. Again, they're all later guys, but Kentucky and Louisville a little bit more represented this year than they have been in previous years.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some of those guys go higher, but you know how this goes. Those rounds 3 through 6 and rounds 3 through 7. These guys are good. These guys, you know, a lot of those guys become really good players.
Yeah,
that's where
absolutely.
You separate the good GMs from the great GMs, is when you can get guys in the 3rd, 5th round, 6th round. That's when they do their work. Garendo, because he ran such a great 40, he worked himself up into a day 2 draft pick.
And absolutely.
That was big time for him. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Brownlee going to the Titans.
Yeah.
You know who the last Louisville or Kentucky player to go in the top 15 was? And it was during the COVID draft.
Hold on. It was
The lineman, right, for the Jets?
Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
he was the 11th pick.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton. And is he?
He just signed with the Eagles.
I was going to say, he's not with the Jets anymore.
He's an Eagle.
He's an Eagle. Fly, Eagle, fly. Sirianni got him. Nick Sirianni got him. Did that break Biscuit's heart?
Yeah.
Did that happen? Yeah, because he's a big Mekhi Becton guy, mm-hmm. and a big Jets guy. So that probably did make Biscuit sad.
They did get a lineman in the first round this year. They actually got their pick right. How about that?
Who, the Jets?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, they'll still ruin him.
They'll ruin him. He'll get hurt.
He'll come out with the flag and 4 plays in, just like Aaron Rodgers. He'll snap his Achilles.
Exactly. Or he'll just eat a bunch of food and come in like grossly overweight.
Albert Haynesworth.
Speaking of, we were just talking about you. Okay, because Mekhi Becton, now an Eagles player. Did that break your heart?
Look, I'm sad it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But Mekhi was awful last year.
He was bad.
Look, I love him to death.
Yeah.
I think he's a big ball of potential. The best thing that could have happened for him was a change of scenery. And Stoutland is a hell of an offensive line coach, probably the best in the league. And the rumor is he really wanted Mekhi to
whip
work
him into shape.
He's a big dude. He was in shape all last year. That was the sad part about it, is he was in shape and healthy all last year. He just didn't look good.
It
was a hard place to look good.
Well, it was, yeah.
He had a bad year. He needed a reset button. I think he still could be a really good player, but he's going to be their swing tackle this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can become.
Maybe blocking for Jalen Hurts is a little better than blocking for Zach Wilson.
I'm sorry it's not in New York, but I'm happy for him that he got another opportunity in a really good landing place.
Well, there you go. All right.
Look at that insight.
Sean can play, though.
There you go. All right. A little moment for Biscuit. Well, Mark, I know you got to go. You have fatherly duties.
She's got Emery's got her softball game tonight.
It's a little softball game. Where's she playing?
She's playing out in Indiana,
in
the Georgetown area. But
okay, cool.
Got to do my part, but I love, you know, just doing anything, you know, with her and whatnot. So wish I could have stayed longer.
That's okay, man.
Blast.
I love it. Every time you come on, it's a lot of fun. Enjoy that softball and stuff, man. My daughter, I'll at 4, but the 10-month-old obviously can't play yet, but 2 sons play baseball, daughter plays softball. Absolutely awesome. I was never a baseball guy. Mm-hmm. Never a baseball guy. Always football, basketball. Those are my favorites.
Like me.
And yeah, and then but with this baseball and softball stuff, I've had to learn a lot. I'm still learning. It's one of the more complicated, intricate sports out there. I didn't realize how complicated baseball and how strategic baseball is, but I'm learning as I go. So I hope you had the same journey that I do and just fall in love with it and enjoy learning what baseball and softball really is, because it's a lot of fun. And I'm as a dad, I'm sitting there trying to work out in my head, like, okay, what exactly do they need to do here to count? It's crazy. You think it's, oh, go up there and hit the ball and they catch it, but no, there's a lot more goes into it.
Well, her mom played college softball, so for me, you know, I've been around so many parents that go a little off kilter.
Oh yeah.
So I'm you know, just sit back and just clap.
That's
and
me.
Just try to be positive.
Yeah, right? I'm exactly the same way. I don't get on the umps. I don't.
Good man.
I don't go after the other players. Like, right? You know, you'd be surprised at the number of adults you see it. The number
I
of adults
it.
That
yeah.
that like razz a kid out and they're like, pitch it to him. He doesn't want to swing and stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, like, he's like 12.
Exactly.
Like, chill, bro.
Same thing in 10-year-old softball. I'm
yeah.
The same stuff. It's like, what?
Like, what are you doing to their 10-year-old kids? Well, enjoy the game tonight. Appreciate it on the other end. Well, Zachy C and I, we'll get you the rest of the way here on the Roundtable at ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.